In Muncie, Indiana, the unemployment rate is 4.4%, which is to say that just about everyone who wants a job has one. Some economists say that low figure may be deceiving, though, because a significant number of people are missing from the labor force. In the first of a two-part series, NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports that opioid abuse might help explain their absence in Muncie and countless communities like it.
Express Employment Professional sits on Muncie's main commercial artery and places about 120 people every month in jobs at local companies.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Nate.
Around 2007, the last time hiring was this hot, job applicants streamed through its doors. Nate Miller is Express's owner.
Even with the low unemployment rates that we had at that time, there were still plenty of applicants. Now, we're down to that 3 to 4% unemployment throughout all of Indiana. But there's very few applicants. And the question is, you know, where'd they go?
Where did they go? That is an enigma for economists from Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen on down. In the 1950s, nearly all working-age men were in the labor force. Now, that's 88%. Baby boomer retirement is a big factor, but opioid addiction might also explain some of the decline. Miller says a third of his applicants these days fail pre-employment drug screens, nowadays almost always for opioids. Meanwhile, employers tell him they could build and sell more if they could only find and keep more workers.
We know employers who just don't want to know. Don't drug test them. We don't want to know. It's not necessarily the best practice, but it is something that they do because they need people, and they need them so badly.
The opioid crisis is no worse in Muncie than elsewhere. It's representative of the typical small American town, with an economy built on manufacturing, agriculture, and Ball State University. People here say problems associated with pain pills and heroin ramped up about 2 years ago. It hit more people harder and across more walks of life than the methamphetamine boom did several years back. For metal parts maker Mersix Corporation, dealing with it head-on has been both painful and necessary.
You can see all these punch presses out here. We'll stamp out metal parts or components, right?
Susan Carlock is co-owner and vice president of Mersix. She says 2 years ago, productivity took a hit as some employees dealt drugs, got high, or nodded off on the factory floor. Others took time off to handle opioid-related family emergencies. At the time, the company wanted to expand. Instead, Carlock says, establishing new procedures for drug monitoring, rehab, and dismissal became the top priority.
We have companies, overseas companies, that are coming to us for us to be a supplier to them, and their number one question is workforce and sober workforce.
Zero tolerance, she says, is still a balancing act. So many applicants have drug-related records, the company now has to consider people with those charges.
We are a victim of the lack of workforce in this community, and we've had to, I don't want to say lower or bend our standards, but we've reevaluated.
Data indicate alcohol abuse is more prevalent and its health effects ultimately more lethal. But opioids have a bigger impact on work. The National Safety Council and the NORC Research Group at the University of Chicago say opioid users miss twice as many days of work as people with addictions to alcohol or other drugs. And an untold number of opioid users don't work at all. I meet Sean Byram at a diner that no longer serves spoons, so customers won't use them to cook drugs in the bathroom. Byram is 34, grew up just outside of Muncie in Winchester, and is now that town's mayor. He worries about an economic vicious cycle, one where people find dealing opioids more lucrative than working. That, in turn, makes recruiting more challenging. One local manufacturer, he says, found a workaround.
They are investing in their plant and $5.5 million worth of mechanical arms to take the place of entry-level worker because they cannot keep them. They're failing drug tests or they don't show up.
Byram wants to open new drug treatment centers, not just for public health, but also to foster a reliable workforce so employers can stick around. Michael Hicks directs the Center for Business and Economic Research at Ball State. He estimates roughly 1.5% of Muncie's population is neither working nor looking for work because of opioids.
Which seems like a small amount, but with an unemployment rate at 4%, that means one out of every four people who might otherwise be applying for a job are out of the labor force.
The after effects, Hicks says, will linger for at least a generation.
What we're really worried about should be a long-term effect of people who are bounced entirely out of a productive life because of this addiction.
For those in recovery, employers like Richard Gill want to offer second chances. He co-owns Gill Brothers Furniture, started by his family 50 years ago. Higher turnover and an opioid-related firing left him short-staffed.
I have been running a forklift for the last 2 days at our warehouse, so I literally took a shower before I came to this interview.
Gill says he would love to expand.
By all means, we want to hire younger workers. We do. They have more energy. They have better backs. But it is difficult to find them.
And also difficult to make sure they're sober. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Muncie, Indiana.